Yeah, mise en place, motherfuckers. It's your boy Chef Plum in the mix, rap chat. Let's go. Yeah, we making duck fondue. We cooking in the kitchen, that is what we do. We take a spatula and put it up in your head. Smack your bitch upside of the head. Pass the carrots, cut that shit up. We gon' dice it, slice it, and eat that shit up. Vegetti, whatever you need, I got it. They call me Chef Plum, got blue hair and a sexy body. That's what all the ladies say. I'ma keep rapping till I say, hey, motherfucker, give me my plate. I'm ready to eat and have that steak. Woo! Yeah, it's your boy Chef Plum.
Everybody, happy Friday night to you. Happy Friday night to your family. I hope your Christmas season is going well, and I hope your service was great this evening. I hope you had a eventful one, a Friday night one for sure. You're probably still cleaning up. That's my guess. Probably still cleaning up, or at least maybe thinking about finishing up the evening. My name is Chef Plum. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the special Friday night edition. Yeah, guys, Friday night. I'll tell you what's happening. We've had in my family, the stomach bug has kind of gone around and kind of threw everything for a loop. Boston last week got absolutely out of control, so we couldn't do the episode Thursday night like we wanted to, but that's fine. So we're here now. We're going to get back to the regular rotation here soon. But I tell you what, with holiday parties and whatnot, it is made for crazy, crazy scheduling. Looking forward to January when it's a little bit calmer and we'll be able to get back on the regular schedule. Aside from that, my name is Chef Plum, and you're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. I am, at this moment, an entrepreneur. I am a TV show host. I am a radio show host. And first and foremost, though, I am a chef. That's right, chef. I have been in the business for 20 years. I have a degree from the Culinary Institute of America, and I have worked under a Michelin star chef. So how about that? That's what I've done, in a nutshell. And now, currently, doing nonstop holiday parties. That's what we're working on, guys. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about that sort of stuff. We're going to bring Jeff Ferrazzi back on the show tonight, talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what's going on in the world, holiday parties, mentoring, holding, you know, trying to keep holding people working for you or finding people to work with you, how to get great holiday parties. And we'll talk, like I said, a little bit of news, a couple of really big news stories that are going around in the food world that are very fun. And, of course, we will play What Did We Learn? And, yeah, it should be a great show tonight, man. We're going to try to wrap this one up in about an hour, I think is going to be the plan. So I hope you're getting ready to sit. Maybe you're going to work out. Maybe, unlike me, you're going to go work out a little bit and check out this very program while you're doing it. If that is the case, give me one more rep. Don't you stop. Just keep getting it. Give it one more time. It's all we need from you. I think you can make it happen. Come on, push it. Push it. Or maybe you're not working out. Maybe you're waking up in the morning having some coffee. If that's the case, I hope you enjoy it. And I'm not going to do a coffee read right now. Don't worry. Ladies and gentlemen, lots and lots of stuff's been going on here in our world. Working the holiday parties, getting busy, coming close as we get closer each day to Christmas time. You know, one of my favorite times of the year. I think honestly, I'm one of the few people in the world that can look at you in the eye and say, I hate that background music. By the way, turn that off. It's terrible. We gotta do better than that. That's not good. Give me something different. What you got? There you go. Now I feel like I'm in a 1980s, 1990s 16-bit video game. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, I love holiday music. I think it's awesome. I'm one of the few people I think that can admit that and mean it wholeheartedly. Holiday music is one of my favorite things, and so are the holidays themselves. I had the chance today to go hang out with our buddy Ryan Christopher at CT Style, and we recorded a bit that's going to be on Monday, and the whole bit starts off with he and I singing a wonderful holiday tune, which involves a figgy pudding. You guys remember that song? Bring me a figgy pudding. Ryan called me this morning and said, Chef, what in the world is a figgy pudding? Well, you'll find out on Monday, because we went in and we made some, and it's very, very funny. I'm looking forward to it. Make sure you check that out on CT Style. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't yet as well, Edible Nutmeg on the road on WCTX. That's my network TV. Also available full episodes at edibleontheroad.com. Doing very well. A lot of fun just to see something like that, a vision kind of go from nothing to being online, to doing well online, to doing to being on the big screen on your TV. It's cool to see it. And this coming episode this week, we are hanging out at a place called Ambler Farm. And of course, we go to Wii Charcuterie. There's a lot of back. I know the Wii Charcuterie video was up. And a lot of that is in there, but there's also some stuff that you can see in the video that's going to be on the TV show on the episode this week, which we're really excited about. So hope you get a chance to check that out. If you don't, you can also check it out online, like I said, at edibleontheroad.com. Two great recipes this week, actually. Two great. What we did was at Ambler Farm, a beautiful farm, they did make maple syrup, which is what we focused on there. They gave us a bunch of syrup. We got to use it. It was great. So I did a take on a sausage and peppers using maple syrup. So it came out. It was absolutely phenomenal. Delicious, delicious, delicious. Look, great maple syrup, great peppers. I'm in. Seriously. Pork. I mean, who doesn't want that? Then over at Wee Charcuterie, we hang out with our friend Matt Browning and his family. Great people. Really good at what they do. Their salami that they make is outstanding. We did a beautiful dish, kind of a take on a Chilean Spanish kind of chorizo salad with tomatoes, and you know, it was awesome. Using a little pepper vinegar to deglaze the pan, which makes a dressing for the tomatoes and this beautiful salami. It was really great. We served it family style with a smoked blue cheese, which is just outstanding. Make sure you check those out. Both those recipes will be on edibleontheroad.com, as well as a full episode there as well. So good stuff. It's exciting to see that, man. It really is. It's really awesome. And coming up here in 2017, man, this whole series is taking over. We have so many other magazines that want to do it. We're just stoked, man. We're so stoked. And it's a lot of work, but we're trying to just kind of lay low until the first of the year. But I can't, because I just want to keep moving. But that's just me, and I know that I have issues. Also, on this program is currently in talks with a big media radio company here locally where I live in Connecticut. And don't worry, the show wouldn't be going away or anything. The show would still be available online, listening much like you do now. But we would also be broadcast over the airwaves, which is pretty awesome. We're excited about that. So we'll see how it goes. We're going to do a couple test shows in January, and then we'll take it from there. I know that they're excited. I'm excited. It'll be fun to see this show go on that level. Now, you might have noticed in the past shows here lately, I don't curse as much. And that's because I'm training myself to try not to curse as much when doing this very program right now. Because when I go onto the regular radio, obviously there's not going to be nearly as much cursing as we do on this very program. But I think I can handle it, man. I think I can handle it. Listen, I mean, it's just a word, right? I'm sure I'll slip every now and then, and they'll have to hit the beep button or the dump button that they call it, because those sort of things tend to happen to me. But yeah, so we're excited about that. We'll see. I mean, listen, it's not a guarantee thing yet. I'm still honestly a little up in the air about it, because they want to do the show. I like the once a week thing, because it takes a lot to go into doing the show. It takes a lot of prep, a lot of stuff ahead of time. They want me to do one every day. Yep, which would be pretty cool, I guess. But they want an hour show every day. We broadcast live in the afternoons. Then I think on Monday nights, we would do a best of released podcast, kind of straight to iTunes and everywhere else. So you get a best of the week, the prior week, kind of every Monday night, which is, I think that's going to be the plan. We'll see. Like I said, I'm not completely sold on it yet, but, you know, it would be a fun thing to try. That's kind of where I'm with it. Because listen, you got to throw as much as you can against the wall and see what sticks. Honestly, that's basically what you have to do. So that, I mean, listen, it would be fun. Like I said, I guess that's all I can say about it. It'd be fun to try. I did radio in college. My first time around, had a lot of fun doing it. I love the idea of doing the regular radio thing. I guess the only thing I'm worried about is it changing how we do this show. And I know that they want me to come on and bring the guests and all that good stuff, but I don't know. It's got to be worth it. That's the thing. And it's putting a lot of time into it. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I kind of pushed for the, the once a week sort of show, but they want to do 5 days a week. So I said, okay, let's give it a go. And like I said, we're gonna do a couple test shows in January. We'll see how they go. And we'll take it from there. So you never know. This very program could be a five-day-a-week program. Listen, I'm an old-school radio fan. And that's the thing, you guys. Being a private chef for as long as I have been, I am totally like you know, you name it. Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, big fans. Sam Roberts, Jim Norton. These are great radio people. Big fan. So it's kind of been a goal of mine to be able to do a radio show. I mean, not the caliber of that, but it's more about one of those things. Let's see where it takes us. So that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm looking forward to. And listen, like I said, we're not doing away with this program. That's not happening. What we're going to do is look into doing more like a different version of it. So just hang tight. Nothing's changing yet. Just hang tight. Nothing's changing yet. Don't get excited. It's all good. So I can't wait to get more information. But that's what a lot of the talks have been lately going into it. And again, dude, if you haven't done it yet, make sure you're checking out Edible Nutmeg on the Road on my network TV, WCTX, Saturday morning, 6:30 a.m. Holla at your boy. That's going to be me. Next, let's see, this week we are, like I said, at Ambler Farm, and we are also going to Wee Charcuterie. Hey, my buddy Ryan Christopher, he's there with us this weekend, so it's going to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, and in between time, I'm going to pop the top on a cold one, get all my ducks in a row, and we're going to come back with our good buddy, Mr. Chef Jeff Perazzi. Ladies and gentlemen, you're checking out Plum Love Foods Live, the number one food talk show of its kind live. I guess usually on Monday nights, but I guess since we're on a Friday night, special Friday night edition. Oh, and I haven't mentioned yet, ladies and gentlemen, this is our 100th episode. How about that? 100 episodes. I've been sitting down here drinking beers, talking to you, and loving every minute of it. Stay right there, guys. We'll be right back with my man, Chef Jeff Perazzi. Here's Far Behind, but my good friends, Social Distortion. Hang tight.
But friends like you, who needs enemies? You ain't right, you ain't never gonna be. You're out of the car, I'm afraid you've been the incline. You shake my hand while you're pissing on my leg. I'm cutting you loose, I don't need this misery. Your soul is toxic, you ain't no friend of you're gonna stab my back. You ain't never gonna be a soulless toxic. You ain't no friend of mine.
Yeah, coming back live from Love Food Live. That was our good friend Social Distortion. It's just kind of fitting for this month, I think, that particular song. That's what I think. You know, sometimes you have those songs just kind of fit in with the moment, or fit in with the feeling. That one's right on the money, that's for sure. So, you know, when you're in this business, you meet a lot of people, and, oh, shit, you know, I should have set the table again. Sorry, I was supposed to start setting the table. Welcome back. Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host. My name is Chef Plum. Thanks for checking us out here on a Friday night. It is 10:17 p.m. on the East Coast. In this business, you meet a lot of people, you know, and it's not very often that you meet a lot of chefs that you kind of just feel a kindred to. You feel just, you know that you're going to be friends with the guy or the girl. You just know that it's going to work out. And, you know, our guest right now is one of those guys, Chef Jeff. I met him doing some subcontracting work for his company, and we kind of just hit it off. He's a great chef, a good businessman, and an even better person. Ladies and gentlemen, my good buddy, and I guess he's a returning guest, Mr. Chef, oh. Jeff Ferrazzi. Chef, what's happening?
Hello, sir. How's it going?
What's going on?
Thank you for having me on the show. 100th episode. I feel honored, sir. Thank you for having me back.
I can't believe I've sat down here and drank beers and talked to 100 dickheads. I just can't believe it's happened.
It really happened. Yeah. You told me what's 100 Monday nights and a Friday night, man. This is a special episode. I mean, I feel like I can actually tie a good one on and not be guilty tomorrow.
It just worked out that way. I don't know why. It just kind of happened to work out that way to be on a Friday night tonight. Just, you know, I told you, man, earlier, had some sick kids and everything. It's just with all this catering work and traveling, you know, just the way it went.
That's how it goes, brother. That's how it goes. The kids especially, so, dude, man, can never control that.
So you're kind of the opposite right now, man. You've got yourself a nice little vacation happening right now from your regular clients, right?
Yeah. I've been my regular clients, I get a nice vacation every year. They go away for Christmas for about two and a half weeks. And it just so happens that I've worked out with my client that we hired another chef who is working with me, great guy, and even just so happens that I work the weekend, so I get a couple extra days off.
Nice.
Just because of how it worked out. Yeah, which is fantastic. And he caters and does parties. He's worked for JKCC since the beginning too. He's a great guy, and so he had to do parties in the beginning of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is usually when he works. So I switched, and I ended up getting off, you know, from Wednesday now until, I guess, the 4th, whatever that Wednesday is.
That's awesome, though.
It's great. It's really great. I get to spend some time with my kids. I've been home all day for the last couple of days, which has been really cool. And, like, just to drive my kid to school and, you know, do all the stuff that my wife does.
I thought you said do all the stuff to your wife. I was like, wait, what?
Do all the stuff to my wife that I've been wanting to do. No, that too. But, I mean, that comes later. You know, it's like...
Fair enough. Well, it's funny because I think when you've been doing private clients as long as you have, and as long as I have, it's okay. I think that you kind of earn that, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really lucky though. There's not a lot of I know some guys who do private work, and man, it's really a grind. I have a good buddy that does he has a fantastic job on the East End. He does he's like a property manager and a chef, right, on the property. It's kind of run like a small hotel. It's like 22 bedrooms for this estate, right?
Okay.
And it's like, you know, the Liebermans, the Smiths, and the Joneses are all here, and they'll call down and let him know when they want to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then he has like a show kitchen that no one cooks in. They just like bring food out in, and then right off of that, he has like a line, like an industrial line, like it looks like a real commercial kitchen, and he just like pumps food out, like a mini hotel all day. But I mean. So even when his guests aren't around, they send people out to this house because it's just like showpiece. It's like, you know, it's on a farm kind of in the middle of the Hamptons.
Wow.
So he's, you know, he like, I just saw him in Cinderella. Yeah, it's a great gig. I mean, he gets paid crazy money. But I just saw him in Cinderella, and I'm like, bro, you're going away? And he's like, you know, almost in tears. He's like, my wife and them, I had to send him to Brazil. I can't go. I have to work. Oh, you know how it is. I'm like, oh, buddy, I feel so bad. I'm like, here I am on vacation. I didn't have the heart to tell him. You know, I just started. Oh, yeah. I'm going on 22 days, sucker. Woo! That's terrible.
It's like the last day of school for you. Like, you know, you get your summer vacation coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. But, you know, what's really cool, too, is Jack's been Uruguay. So I've been doing a lot of stuff with JKCC that usually he handles so many things because I work full time. I mean, I do a lot of, like, I do most of the hiring and do a lot of the interviewing. And I know chefs. I mean, Jack does, too, but he's really great with the marketing and the peopling. Which I've gotten to do a bunch of that recently, which has been fun. I don't get to talk to clients that often, because I just don't have the time to like kind of follow up. But now that I'm going to be off, and we have a bunch of holiday stuff flowing in here, I've been on the phone back and forth, mixing it up.
That's good.
I've had some clients who are really appreciative and love our service, and I've had some others that I've had to, you know, I'm sorry, this is what it is to do this kind of a party.
Right.
You know, stuff like that, because that happens too. You know, and which is fun though for me. I like I said, I haven't got to write some snide emails in a while. So,
well, look, man, you hire a lot of people, and you have a lot of people that come over and work for you, and you interview a lot of people, and yeah, I think that's it's kind of what if you read all the articles, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, they all are publishing these articles these days about hiring. All the HR magazines are talking about it too, how it's just becoming a really weird time to hire people. I mean, it's almost like, I don't know, we're in a weird generation of people. You know, instead of people my age and your age, we go get a job in a kitchen or any job, you know, let me do the best I can for you. You know, thank you for the opportunity. Where now it's these guys are coming in and saying, what kind of work environment are you going to provide for me? Like, I feel like that's the way it's going.
Yeah. I mean, you have to understand the generation that we've cultivated, you know, as a society, I feel like, for the last 15 years or so, you know, that it's a very, like you said, it's a very pampered generation. You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about this, I feel like, on the show before, with Kevin that one time. But it's just like a lot of people when they... A lot of young people, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of young people, when they come up, they are coming up, especially in the food business. I mean, I don't know everything, but I know from my experience in the food business, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, they see being a chef as, like, a way out. You know what I mean? Like, they don't necessarily want to be successful. They just want to be known. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they don't necessarily want to have done what we've done to become the chefs we are, which, I mean, it was a different industry, you know. I feel like the industry has changed so much in the back of the house and in the front of the house. You know what I mean? I mean, all the way around, like just how things are approached. I'm not trying to be too shitty to the young crowd, because I think there's a lot of really great people too who are coming
up,
who see it as a real career, and they don't use people as stepping stones. But some people, you know, it's like, and I think I was guilty of that as a young person. I don't know if you were at all, but I mean, you know, you get in a kitchen and you kind of get a little like, oh, what's this guy going to teach me? I've been here before. I've already done this kind of stuff. And, you know, when am I going to get out of here? Or, like, what's my next gig? You know, and I understand that. But I guess when you're hiring people, you're always looking for that, not just can they do the job, but do they want to do the job? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm always asking people, like, you know, what do you really want to do? Like, where do you want to be in 10 years? Like, what do you want to do next year? You know, what's your family like? Which kids like? Do you have kids? Do you don't have kids? Oh, you got a girl? You got a girl? You got a boyfriend? What do you got? You know, like, I want to know about people, because I feel like that tells you a little bit more about who they are and about where they're going to be and what the kind of a worker they're going to be. You know what I mean?
And what kind of responsibility they have, too. You know, if you got a guy who's coming to work for you, doesn't have any,
what
you
gets
know,
you
real...
up out of bed in the morning? You know what I mean? Like, what gets you out of bed in the morning? Is it women? Is it booze? Is it becoming a better chef? Is it food? Like, what is it? You know, I mean, like, people, all sorts of people, is it money? You know, all sorts of people are motivated by all sorts of different things. And I think what motivates you, I think, at the end of the day, is what you're going to strive to be better at. So, I mean,
yeah,
I think that's really a key thing when I'm looking to hire people. And, you know, for me, hiring private chefs, a lot of times it is money. A lot of guys are burnt out. And they want to come over to this side of the field because they hear the money's great, and they want to just do it. And they're like, "Whatever, I can do anything." But then it's like, you know,
not
sometimes
quite that
it's not
easy.
Just anything. It's not cooking is easy, you know, but kissing ass is not. You know what I mean? Like,
it's part of the job,
especially if you're not built that way. Yeah, no, but not everybody's built that way. Not everybody knows how to like. You know, smile and be normal. I had a funny experience with my client that I have every day. She's a great person. I enjoy her. I feel like we're family now. You know, it's been so long that we've been together. And I'm making a snack for the kids to take to school. And I got extra green beans, or not green beans. I got extra M&Ms to put in this thing. And there happens to be red ones, you know, and she was kind of like, "Ooh." Oh, not red ones, but green ones. She was kind of like, "Oh, I thought we were just going to do red and white." And I was like, "Oh, because the candy canes, I know. I just thought I'd throw the green in because I thought the green was nice." And she was like, "Well, you know, it's a little too Christmas-y for me, you know. You know, you're probably not sensitive to it because you're not Jewish. You don't see that like that." And I was like, "Oh, my God. You know, I didn't think of it that way." But then I'm looking at the bowl like, "Oh, it's not that big of a deal." And then I'm looking at her, and then I'm like, "Oh, you want me to pick them out?" And she's like, "Is that right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, totally cool." And I'm like kissing her ass because I love her, and I'm like happy to pick them out. But there's a part of me that's like, I'm picking out green jelly beans right now. I can't fucking believe this, but I don't say that.
No,
and I'm doing
it.
And then she says to me, "Jeff, I've worked for you. I've worked with you now for 7 years. There's two things I know about you. One is you like to be very organized. You have everything laid out all together. And another one is if you don't want to do something, but you'll do it anyway, your ears turn red." And I was like, "Oh shit!" She totally picked up on my tell. Like, I was pissed. You know, I swallowed it, but my ears turned red. And I told my wife. My wife was like, "Holy shit, that's so true. Your ears and your cheeks get red when you're mad, even when you're not. Like, you eat it, you're like not upset. You're trying to be nice. The dog will be barking. You're at dinner. Your ears turn bright red. I can tell." Like, I was like, "Oh wow, wow."
Oh
like,
man,
damn, she picked up on it.
Did you play it off? Like, you're like, "No, that's not true at all."
Well, I just laughed. I was like, "Oh, you know I love it." She's like, "I know you love us. I'm not even saying that." She just kind of like laughed. She just wanted me to know that she, I think, picked up on my like, yeah, totally, no. But, you know, it's just like, it's one of those things. Not like I even cared. It was just like, it was a little annoying. You're picking out green jelly beans. I was kind of like, or green M&Ms or whatever. I was like, "Whoa, am I really doing this?" But, you know.
Man, that's crazy. Well, that's a great story right there. But, you know, it's different sides of the whole thing here. What you're talking about, working in the private, you know, work with private clients and whatnot. But you know, the whole side of the equation is having chefs who run restaurants, and they have to hire people as well. And so now, it's kind of funny. I think I got a buddy here on the line who's calling and checking in. He's got a great event coming up here very, very soon. And he's, like I said, just one of the he's one of the good guys. That's what I call him. I think it's ironic. He might have been on the show the last time you were here. He's got an event called Chefs United for Future Chefs of America. It's hosted down there by Chef Scatori, the one and only Chef Kevin Levine.
Oh.
Great, great chef, even better person. Chef, you there?
I'm here.
There he is, man. What's going on, brother?
How are you?
What's going on, Chef Plum? How you doing, Chef Jeff?
How you doing, Kevin? How's it going, man? Mr. Scatori, killing it. Hot blocks all day.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Absolutely crazy.
Dude, it's fucking great to hear your voice, dude. Great to hear your voice. I see you. You got so much stuff going on, man. I apologize. I'm a little out of touch. I've been crazy, absolutely insane, brother. Dude, what's going on? Holiday season. You guys getting crushed down there?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, man. Wednesday through Sunday night, private parties in the dining room.
Fantastic.
This time of year, it's crazy, and then of course, with Hoplock being the holidays, I'm there till 4 o'clock in the morning getting orders done, and it's nuts. And then planning this event, it's a lot of good stuff going on.
Dude, tell us a little bit about this event you got happening.
Yeah, absolutely. like you said, it's Chefs United for Future Chefs of America. Long story real short, 41 years old, and I'm still paying back Johnson Wales student loans. And,
true that.
You know, everybody on Instagram, you know, Kurt Upton, Crazy Chef Kurt, Alex, Chef Korn, we were all talking one day, and we came up with doing a benefit dinner, and we just started talking more. Lisa Hannaford, Bearded Boredom, George Cullum, Dakota, Chef Ivan, Chef Brian
Damn.
Lowe, all of them are coming down to Myrtle Beach on January 19th.
Killer.
Basically, what we're doing is we're holding an 8-course wine dinner with silent auction, and 100% of proceeds are going to put, hopefully, not one, but two individuals through culinary school.
Wow, man.
There's a lot of people out there. Their whole situations might be different. They might not financially be able to go to culinary school. They might have a family, and they have to work 24/7, and they can't go to culinary school. And just to be able to give back to somebody a full ride to culinary school, it's kind of
That's
funny.
Huge.
Because I was listening to Jeff, and, you know, times have changed. But you know what? There are still individuals out there that want to do anything and everything to better their lives. Not
yeah.
just their careers, but their lives. And one of the individuals, it's kind of funny, one of the individuals that's in the running for the scholarship, he is actually possibly coming here to Scutori's, taking a step down so he can learn. And it's crazy how many people, you know, there are still people out there that have that passion. And
totally.
If I can give back and help that passion through culinary school and School of Hard Knocks, oh, man, forget about it.
Wow, man, look awesome. At you. He's such a positive guy, isn't he, Jeff? He's just a positive, just nice guy.
I love Kevin. Ever since, since before I met him on the show, I've been following him on Instagram. And through True Cooks is when I first saw him out there, just like just kind of rooting people on and stuff. And I've always been like, dude, this guy is awesome. And then hearing him on
he's
the show, you know, and now hearing what you're doing now, I mean, I just think it's great. You know, a lot of people talk about it, but you're always being about it. And I think that's something to commend you on, man. Not everybody is, and I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
You know what? It's for as large as our industry is, it's not. It's extremely small. And, you know, everybody is so tight-knitted, and, you know, you got to praise, and you got to teach. And I'm, like I said, I'm 41, and, you know, I'm still learning every single day, looking at pictures on Instagram, or I'm
totally.
Like, oh, my God, let's try that. And, you know, if we can all be positive, you know, these kids, you know, they see that you're right. On the flip side, they want to work. They want to make the money. Or they want the job and they want to make the money, and then they're like, but you know.
Or they want to be mentioned. You know, they want to get like
absolutely.
That honorable mention. Like, oh, you know, I don't know. My joke is always like, I used to have guys that always would say to me like, you know, oh, well, did you tell them I made that hors d'oeuvre? You know, and I'm like, no, I didn't mention that. Sorry, like I wasn't like, oh, by the way, Dennis made that arancini. Just so everyone here knows. Dennis
That's right.
made the arancini, you know.
That's right.
It's like,
no,
you know,
right.
But
you're absolutely right. But us as veterans, you know what? We are the veterans in the industry, and I do feel, you know, that it is our responsibility as chefs and as line cooks. I mean, I worked on the line all night tonight. I mean, I'm a cook. That's what I do.
Yes.
But you know what?
That's
it's
a good
our
thing.
Responsibility to get these kids and the younger generation in the mindset of, you know what, you do what you have to do, get it done. You know, it is our responsibility, because I'm going to be eating at 80 years old. I'm going to be eating
Amen.
In restaurants at 80 years old, and these kids are going to be the ones that are feeding us.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right, man.
Thinking about it like that, that makes me feel old.
A lot of people don't, and that's what we did this for. You know, we are going to be eating the future chef's food. So do you want to, what kind of food do you want to eat? I want to eat good food. So you know what?
Yeah,
we got to pound into them, you know what? Work. work, try new things, you know, push yourself to the limit. You're right. It's not only about the food. It's pushing yourself. What is going to make you a better person in that kitchen? And that's what we need to, teach the younger generation of cooks.
That sums it up perfectly right there. I mean, it's tough, man, because, you know, you meet these young kids who are doing stuff, and you know, Jeff's right, a lot of them just want the credit for it and all that other stuff. But what you're doing here is a great event. It's called Chefs United for the Future Chefs of America. It's happening on January 16th at Scatori's Pizzeria, an Italian restaurant. It's an 8-course wine dinner and silent auction. It's $125 a ticket, which is a complete steal. It'd have all these great chefs making you food. You can call 843-650-3370. Ask for Chef Kevin. He'll get you taken care of. Or I'm sure anybody in the restaurant that answers the phone can get you taken care of. Or hit him up on Instagram. You know where to find him, at Chef Scatori's. This event sounds awesome, man. Listen, we'll get you on again closer, talking about it a little bit more for sure. And, dude, look, before you go.
We have a Facebook page as well, Chef United.
Chefs United on Facebook. Cool. We'll look for it on there too. You find a little more information and maybe start posting some menu ideas going up, right? Can you do that?
Oh yeah. We're going to be putting some menus on the Facebook page. We're going to be putting contenders, of the recipients up there. I mean, it's about the kids, you know, it really is.
That's beautiful, nice. Man. I love it.
Tori loves the kids. I love it.
There you go. Oh, actually, we probably shouldn't say that. That didn't sound right. When you say it like that, it just didn't sound right. Like maybe we should give him.
Oh, come on. I meant it like Wu Tang.
From school. Okay, I got you. All right, so Kev, really quick, man. You run a small business. You hire people left and right. We're talking this episode a lot about mentoring and hiring people, and it's kind of a lot of talk going on right now in the professional world through all the magazines and whatnot. What's the one thing when you're interviewing somebody, Chef, that if they do or say or don't do, that it's something you look for right away and they will immediately be out of the running for the position when you talk to them?
Immediately, I want them to look in my eyes when they talk to me. That says a lot about them. If they're looking at me when they talk to me, that means they know what respect is. If they look around, if they have wandering eyes, that's just not, you know, if you can't look at me when you're talking to me, that's, you're out.
I mean, and you're a good looking guy too. So I don't see why they wouldn't want to do that.
Why wouldn't they want to stare in your eyes? I mean, that's crazy. Given the opportunity, I would do that. I mean,
there you go. I mean, why not? That's what it's about.
It is. It's, you know, a resume. You know, I can put that I work, I cook here, I cook there, I want this much money, but you know what, you got to show me. When we hire a pizza guy, we make him come into the kitchen, we give him even no matter what he's dressed like, we give him an apron, we make him toss a pie, you know, oh yeah, I can toss pizza, and then the minute you say, all right, come on back, oh no, it's been, you know, all right, see you later. I mean, you know, like, for
you don't make them dance at all or anything.
For our pizza side, we make them toss a pie. For the dining room side, typically make them cook a dish. Or, you know, I want to see it. If they put a piece of chicken in a cold pan, I mean, you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Do you make them trail for a night or just make one dish?
It depends on what the position is, to be honest with you. Tonight, all night, he staged for about 5 hours tonight. So, I mean, it honestly depends on the position. No matter what pizza side, you got to toss a pie. I mean, that's first and foremost.
Yeah.
If you say you're a pizza guy and you don't know how to deal with fresh dough, I mean, you're not a pizza
guy. I love
guy.
Tossing pies. Let's toss some pies.
There you go.
I want to come down and toss some pies.
Dude, you're welcome. My kitchen's always open. It's always open.
He is, man.
Come on down.
I know. I'm going to make it down there. I told my wife that. She's like, oh, yeah. She didn't believe me. But I said, no. We got a connection now down there. It's going to be great. We're going to have a blast.
Oh, shit.
I can already tell.
Kevin would love it.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, man, look.
We'll do a dinner.
Awesome to hear your voice, my friend. Great to talk to you, man. I'll be in touch with you here soon, man. I'm glad things are going so well for you. Looking forward. This event sounds fantastic. You know, you're doing freaking amazing work down there. And, brother, happy holidays to you and the fam.
Yeah, you guys too. You have a good one. Thank you so much, Bob.
Definitely.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Take care, Kevin.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. And there he goes. That's listen, that's a guy right there who he's running a successful business. You know, I mean, he's hiring and firing a lot of people. And look, I think more people should do what Chef Levine's doing down there. Make people come to work in your kitchen. You know, bring them in and say, okay, you think you can do it? Come do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a great thing. You know, that's a great way to handle it.
Him talking made me think about, you know, the biggest dilemma I have hiring people is, you know, you hire so many private chefs, it's hard to, you know, where do they trial for you? You know, like, where do you have them cook? Like, and some people are, you know, I hire people from all over the country sometimes, you know what I mean? I have to call references and just kind of like take people at their word and ask them the right questions. And, you know, I have that, that one test that, you know, you took in the beginning there that I send in, you know, have people take sometimes when I want to just see where they're at, you know.
And you told me I did well in the test, so I'm happy.
You did quite well. I was happy with the results in your test. No.
Well, you know, private chefs are a different breed, man, because we're a lot of us. I mean, you know, I'm sure you're the same way. I mean, I'm so used to flying solo. You know, I'm so used to running my own thing and flying solo. I think you find a lot of private chefs are actually very, very fast and very efficient in a kitchen because normally, you know, we're under a time crunch and you're working solo. You know, I mean, is that what you find too?
Totally. Totally. I couldn't agree more. You know, it depends on where they came from too, though. You know, there's different types of private chefs, you know, that have come up. You know, there's private chefs who come up who come out of like catering halls and or maybe large restaurants, and you know, then went into like, you know, chef de party or something, and then like, you know, somehow got onto an estate maybe, who've always worked on big kind of projects with big things and have still always had a lot of helpers. And then there's like the private chefs who are like, you know, there's like, I meet a ton of guys in their 50s and women in their 50s who
were in the business
of private chefing. Who had like restaurants in their 20s and 30s in the 80s and they got into private chefing and worked on estates for 10 years. And now they're kind of like, those kids have grown up and that estate's kind of boring and they're looking to do something somewhere else. And they've had like these like dope cushy jobs for years. And if you throw them in a party situation, maybe they do amazing because it's like old hat. And sometimes they get a little stressed out because they haven't had like their jitney paid for and been offered money to do, you know what I mean? Cause they're used to working for like people who are just like super generous and not everyone's like that. You know, sometimes you have people who are like really venomous.
It's funny. You gave me a piece of advice not too long ago that I've actually taken to heart these days, and I found it to be pretty enlightening. And you know, it's. I used to get a little bit annoyed when I have, you know, a regular client that you have, you know, and we would do. She would all of a sudden want to have a party for 30 people in the house, you know, like a buffet style party, nothing crazy.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, I'm not making all this food for what you're paying me. Like normally, I make food for 4 people. And now you want to do 30, but you don't want to pay me any more money, right? And I'm kind of like, I used to get on my nerves. But then again, you told me, you said, look, man, you know, most of the time, especially your regular clients, you know, you do a pretty regular gig for them. It's you know, you do 4 people, whatever the families are cooking for. If occasionally they want to have a party, you know, you kind of just got to suck it up and go with it because there's going to be more good than bad. And I was like, you know what?
Throw them a bone, otherwise you cut your nose off and bite your face, you know?
Exactly. I'm like, you know what? Chef Jeff's exactly right about that. And ever since you told me that, I just don't get annoyed about it anymore. Like, I'm like, okay, I had to do it again, you know, a couple Mondays ago. It was fine. Whatever. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, hey, that's like, there's a lot of times just to get the chef the work, I'll just like be like, all right, you know what? Let's just do the party. Let's just have the guy go there. Here, I'll take this for the percentage, or I'll waive this, or I'll, you know what I mean? Like, we go back and forth sometimes. It's like, depending on who the chef is and who the client is and how they're treating me, you know what I mean? Like, if they're really nice and, like, I can tell they really want this thing to go through and, like, I can tell the chef could really use the, you know, to make it happen, it's like, sometimes you just do it, you know? So, like, it's like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's just like, you know, and there's other times when you have to stand your ground where you're like, no, listen, man, you know, this is what a cocktail party is. This is how many people I need at a cocktail party of that size. This is how it's going to go. You know, I understand if you'd like to go in a different direction. Thank you very much. You know, I'm really looking forward to this.
She's cool about it. I mean, she was very cool about it. She, you know, she's like, you know, bring a helper with you. It's fine. Whatever you need. I'll have both the housekeepers here. You know, like that. Yeah. Okay, cool. But, you know, then again, in the end, if I quoted that particular party for somebody else, you know, it would have been more money.
Well, this is the thing you have to look at. If she asks you to do it before anybody else asks you to do it, then you're like, okay, I'll honor it for her. But if somebody else calls and says, hey, I want the 19th, and she's like, oh, it's Plum, I'd really like you to do the 19th. We have to be like, ooh, can't do the 19th. I got this thing. You know, they're paying me this, but I'm happy to do this other day. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You just, you know, you always have to be do smart with, for what's right for your family and do what's right for the business. But at the same time, I think to charge them what you would charge a client that isn't feeding you on a regular basis, you know what I mean?
Well, we're going to see what happens with Christmas bonus time. We'll see what happens if I get a Christmas bonus from him. That's what we'll find out about. Because I wasn't at Christmas last
year. This is the best time of year for me. This is when a lot of business starts coming in. This is when the year-round calls, I hope. Because it's like, you know, it's when the angry chefs either call me and are like, I need something else. or they get fired and I get calls from, like, property managers who are just excited to seek more options.
Well, dude, I'm stoked for the summer and the spring, man. I just learned about work. I told you, I just figured out about working out in the Hamptons, you know, about August last year. And, I mean, it's a great spot, a great place to go hang out and do a lot of work. I'm looking forward to the summer, just doing tons of it. Maybe
well,
doing something cool with
family
you,
out
you know?
There, too, which probably makes it nice. You know, you could probably get your kids out there, too.
It's
just fantastic.
No doubt, man, no doubt.
One of my good friends still works there, that place that you hooked him up into.
Oh, is he there?
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah.
Awesome. That's good people, man. Good people. We got to go out there this summer and have a drink and get some food, bro.
Dude, I know. I'd love to do that kind of stuff. I just never have time to do anything once the summer hits.
We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen.
I'm trying to become, like, I just read one of those, like, you know, people give you these books about being successful. You ever get any of those? Like, oh, you know, 25 habits of, you know, really well-hung men.
did you notice, dude? They never start off with drink a lot of beer. It never starts with that. Like, I wish it would.
No. Wake up in the morning and procrastinate until you have to do something.
It's always like, wake up at 4 a.m., run 3 miles, then come back and do yoga while you stare at pictures of Buddha.
Yoga.
What? No.
And meditate. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Schedule.
That's not happening. Oh, man. Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I think that's kind of one of the hardest parts. You know, I honestly, you know, I did an event recently for a very, very big outdoor furniture line, high-end stuff. And, you know, they put out a press release and, yeah, I'm not going to say any names of people and stuff, but they put out a press release, and it was myself and another buddy of mine, guest of the show, Aram Reed from Chicago, was doing the event.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a great event, man. A lot of fun. They brought us out to Boston, got us an Airbnb. It was great. Yeah, one of the guys that was working with me, one of the people on the team, got upset because this particular person wasn't mentioned in the press release released by the company. And I'm like, dude,
that happened.
Really?
That
Come
happened.
On, man. But no, it shouldn't.
You know, I mean, you know what it is? This is what it is, man. It takes different strokes. It takes different strokes.
Different strokes. It takes. There you go. Let's sing it. I was going all the way through. Mr. Drummond
was
my dude.
I'm telling you, man. People are crazy. Some people are crazy, and some people are normal. And what's normal and what's crazy? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, people sometimes they're just like, what about me, you know? And like, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been trying really hard, and I want to get some fucking credit, and you're my boy, maybe you're supposed to give that to me. I mean, whether they deserve it or not, they can, you know, people can get a little deluded, you know. It just
people
happens,
do get,
you know?
They get crazy with it, and I think things start to get crazy, especially on the holiday time. And honestly, it's a great segue, because there's this really amazing story going around today, and I was trying to find like a news report reporting on it, but I couldn't find one. All I found was the AP clip, and the AP people, you know, they do like the robotic voice, like the computer voice reading the story. But I found that, and basically what happened was this woman, she goes in the, it's, I forget what, I think it's in Hungary or one of those other, a different country. and she's protesting, eating meat. She's like, you know, for PETA or some shit for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so she ended up taking all of her clothes off in the middle of this busy city street, essentially Times Square in Hungary, and laid on a plate of food. And well, here, just check it out. Listen to this clip, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Here, check this out.
A woman stripped completely naked in Liverpool city center and lay on a plate as part of a bizarre protest against Christmas turkeys. With a giant knife and fork placed either side of her, she lay with fake peas, carrots and sprouts on a plate emblazoned with the message "Try to relate to who's on your plate. Go veg." And the protester went full frontal, curled herself up into the shape of a traditional packaged whole turkey and poured streaks of gravy on herself for added realism with a giant knife and fork placed either side of her. She lay with fake peas, carrots and sprouts on a plate emblazoned with the message "Try to relate to who's on your plate. Go veg." And PETA director Alisa Allen told the Liverpool Echo, "PETA is encouraging people to extend the holiday spirit of peace and goodwill to all by leaving animals off their plates this Christmas thanks to the array of mock meats available. It's easier than ever to enjoy a festive meal packed with all the flavor but none of the cruelty of meat."
Listen, I'm telling you what. Here's how this is going to work. Yeah, here's how it's going to work in my house. You give me an attractive woman naked laying on a plate, even though it sounds like a shitty plate. Peas and sprouts, that's what you're serving with, and some gravy.
There were fake peas and sprouts. It said fake peas and sprouts.
That's right. But laying on the middle of a plate, listen, I'll stop eating turkey for a day if you want. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And she was quite the attractive young lady as well. But when you hear stories like this, these crazy-ass people protesting food, I mean, I have two thoughts. Yeah. Let me see what you think about it. One, mind your business. Don't tell me what I should and shouldn't do. If you don't want to do that, that's cool. But I don't need you laying in the middle of the street where I'm going to walk around with my kids and have to explain why there's a naked woman with gravy poured all over her. And two...
Yo, I worked at a place that they used to pick
up. And two, if I have to look at a woman laying naked with gravy poured all over her, generally I have to give a few dollar bills. So I'm just saying,
well,
if that's going to happen...
That's what I would think. She would raise a little money. I mean, I'm just thinking like that. I don't know. That's just my terrible mind.
It's terrible,
I worked at a place
right?
where they used to pick at us though for foie gras in
really?
when I was younger. Yeah. It was like
wow.
I mean, he's like the only guy in town that really served it. So for some reason they would come down and like, you know, march around in front. And he was kind of the chef I worked for was like kind of a gruff dude. He like. So he'd go out and yell at him sometimes, so it always like cause kind of a scene. But he loved it. He thought it was free press.
Like, he'd go out there and smack
like,
them.
Knows we have lobes,
smack them with the face.
No, he would just be like, "You don't know anything. You don't know anything." He'd like, oh, "You are whelped on meat. Go ask your mother."
So what would you do? You're walking down the street with your family. You're on your vacation right now, and there's a naked woman laying on a giant plate with some peas and sprouts with a large fork and a knife. And the plate says, whatever, consider what's on your plate first. Like, what would you, I mean, what do you think about that?
Well,
like,
immediately,
how would you explain
I would think it's an art piece of some
right.
sort. So I'd probably walk over and take pictures. And, you know, depending on what I thought it was, and then we'd probably walk away. You know, I mean, come on, man, we're from New York. I see all sorts of shit.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, you know, I feel like you get so, you know, when you're in Manhattan all the time or in any of the boroughs, you just get kind of to a point where, like, you see certain things. It's like anywhere else in the world, if you saw that, people would stop and like try to help them or do things.
Right.
Like, and in New York, you just kind of have to like step over them and keep moving because you have something to do or something. Oh, that's crazy. Crazy.
I think I would just bring her a bag of cheeseburgers and put it right in front of her, then walk away.
Right.
And I would just assume she's hungry. I had high hopes for that joke, and it got nothing. I completely swung and missed there. I thought it was gonna be a funny joke.
You're like, I really, yo, I love that. You're like, I love naked woman on a plate with gravy. You're like, I couldn't stop picturing this woman on a plate.
I kind of don't get
how she thought she looked like a turkey. I mean.
She pulled her body up. It was weird. She's fetal position.
I guess, what, like on her back, and then like she
kind of on her side. Like, on her side, yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck,
that doesn't look very Turkish to me. I don't know. Did she wear the little frilly booties? That would have been better.
No,
I mean, had she done that?
Oh, it's a little, yeah, she had an apple in her mouth. She got confused. She thought it was a pig.
Oh, that, yeah, like on hands and knees, like little feet and like elbows tucked in and knees tucked in.
Right.
And had she been tied or something, you know, oh, right? Jesus. And someone stuck a little pigtail on her and put an apple in her mouth. I mean,
wow.
I think she would have got, I think the press would have been better. I mean, I think she would have been more committed to her,
I don't know, man. Animal. Laying on a plate animal. And getting gravy pour on you naked, that's a commitment if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, but she poured it on herself, which is also more unbelievable. I think, you know, had she been trussed properly and she had, like, maybe like in, like a mad, evil chef, like, ha-ha, pouring gravy on the woman because I'm going to eat her. Ah. You know, I don't know, something.
Something he just walks up with he walks up with a giant bowl of stuffing after she's trussed. All right, here we go.
Yep. Oh no.
Oh no, or oh yeah. It depends how you look at it, I guess.
Yeah, whichever. Depends on what's in the stuffing, I guess. I don't know. Apples? What's going on?
It's chorizo. It's delicious. So look, it's funny. You see a town like that, right? And you hear how this woman's protesting meat. Then you come back here, and one of the bigger news stories going on today, right now. It's funny. Tennessee, a great food state. Nashville's beautiful. Memphis is beautiful. Great food in these two states. Apparently, there's a family who had a snow cone truck and or snow cone cart, I guess, or whatever, pulled behind. And they put it in storage. And, here's what happened. Check it out.
A Collierville family had their business stolen early Friday morning. Their snowy something food trailer was stored at a Collierville storage facility. Fox 13's Shelby Sanson talked with the owner, who says all she wants is to get her business back.
Someone stole a snow cone trailer from this storage unit in Collierville, and it has a lot of people around the area asking if their stuff is safe.
How did that happen? How did they pull it off?
A lot of unanswered questions.
How did they pull
that
off? So it's pretty shocking to see a whole tractor trailer come up missing like that.
Brilliant.
If it was in Memphis, it wouldn't be shocking at all. But considering it is Collierville, you don't hear that as much here.
I contacted the owner, Teresa McGoldrick, who couldn't leave work to talk on camera, but tells
me this woman yelling at us?
The truck was not a small investment.
It was almost the equivalent of somebody walking into a business and burning it to the ground. It's a complete loss.
She's posted her story on Facebook. With over 70 shares, she hopes someone can give the Collierville Police Department
information. This reporter
has
uncomfortable stops whenever she finishes her story.
Snow cone trailer.
But I'm kind of hoping even if it just becomes so visible that somebody, the person that stole it, decided they
don't
want to keep it and park it on the side of the road, that they would call authorities and let them know.
And people I spoke with tell me this theft has them paying closer attention to their big-ticket items.
I worry because if somebody come up and take my things, I'm going to be worried. Hopefully, you'll have a change of heart return because that's...
Yeah, that makes me worry, too, when someone comes take my things.
The Collierville Police Department says if you know anything about this crime, to either call them or Crime Stoppers. Reporting in Collierville, Shelby Sanson, Fox 13 News.
Shelby, the reporter in the story... It's Collierville, Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah, like Memphis, Nashville.
Accent?
Did you miss the segue into like how great food? You know. Anyway, how does one steal a so you see the picture of it, you can't see it here because obviously it's radio, but it's like a rather large food cart, and I guess these people went and
Yeah.
They did the shittiest job of all time explaining what happened here. People went into this particular storage unit, I guess had some bolt cutters, cut the bolt, hooked up the trailer to the back of their shit, and drove away with it. And no one asked any questions.
No one said anything. They were like,
no,
that must be theirs. That must be theirs because they just drove off with it. Of course.
I mean,
that makes sense.
Something. Yeah, something. But the funniest part to me about this whole story is there's two things that are hysterical about the story. One, the reporter. I mean, she is serious as serious can be. Did you notice how every time she's talking, it sounds like she's yelling, and she would just stop very abruptly in her conversation?
Yeah. I like, interviewed people.
That's right. It's a snow cone truck. But the woman who owned it wouldn't come and be on camera, but she would call in from her job, which I thought was really funny. Because if you have a job, then it's not that big of a, you know, you stop acting like your business got burnt down.
Well, I wonder what she looked like. Just wondering. I'm just saying. I just want to, there's some judgment to be passed. You know, I mean,
you gotta love the genius of the man on the scene, you know, who were there, who were, listen, I'd be nervous if somebody came but took my stuff, you think?
Yeah, that was my favorite. Well, it makes me nervous thinking of somebody taking my stuff. Yeah, does it? People shooting at me, it makes me nervous.
And did you see, you probably can't remember, but the story started off with, you know, the snow cone cart, and then as it progressed, it became, yeah, how did they take a tractor trailer out from the storage unit? It's just, it's local news now cracks me up, dude. It just, it's the funniest thing ever. It really is.
I think all news is crazy. I mean, have you ever read the Post? Thank God.
No.
It's pretty, I mean, it's just, it's written in such, I don't know. It's there's such a slant to it. I mean, I guess there's such a slant to all news nowadays.
All of it.
But I just feel like you read stories and it's, I'm reading this story about Donald Trump and how, like, you know, he's about to, what's that guy's name? Rex Tillerman or whatever. You know, the Exxon dude that you know, it's like a bad Captain Planet episode where, like, you know.
Oh, shit. Captain Planet.
Donald Trump comes in and, like, puts the head of the oil company in front of, like, you know, Children's Services, and then puts the head of, like, the head of, like, you know, stem cell baby factories. I don't know. The whole thing is
stem cell baby factories.
I don't know. I just feel like they have one of those somewhere. I don't know why, but
I mean, the brilliance that you're vomiting out of your mouth right now is a fantastic segue to the final segment of this fine program tonight. We're gonna play a quick round of what did we learn tonight on Fun Love Foods Live with Chef Jeff and myself, brought to you by the new friends over at Ergo Chef Knives. Brand new knife. Go see my friends, Ergo Chef Knives, the brand new shape of cutlery. The new Damascus blade that just came out is just unbelievable. Mm. It's such a good, dude, it's a great knife. I got to get you one of these knives. It's awesome. Use promo code, it's the holiday season. One. Use promo code Chef Plum. Get yourself a nice 15% off anything in your cart. Great guys, Mike and Scott. Ergo Chef Knives, the brand new shape of cutlery. All right. I'll go first if you want. You know how to play What Did We Learn. Let's talk about it. You ready?
Talk to me. What did we learn? How does it work?
We're gonna do three each if we can. I learned very, very recently that Chef Jeff is a very well-read individual. He reads articles from the Washington Post and other places. However, I think he only reads every other word because he kind of just got a stem cell baby factory. That's not even a thing. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, man. Oh, all right. Well, I learned just now in that comment that Chef Plum isn't up on any conspiracy theories whatsoever. He must not read any of the black news. Come on, man. You got to get out there on the dark web and read the real news, bro.
I mean, all these things you're saying, I'm not nearly the racist that you might think I am.
The racist.
I just read news. Like, I don't need to give it a label.
No.
Hey. Maybe. I should read more news than I do. You're right. I should. I just look for funny stories about people slipping and falling and watch fail videos on YouTube to get caught up. That's all I do.
Dude, stem cell baby factories, man. Look it up.
Did you save the stem cells from the cord blood when your kids are born?
No, I ate the placenta though, because I'm an animal, bro.
Of course you did.
I dried it out. We made pills for it. That's a whole other episode we can have someday. Call me up about
it. Oh my god! Video.
I swear to God, I did it. We ate the placenta like a beast. I ate some raw. I sliced it thin. I dehydrated it and ground it up and made pills out of it for some sort of medicine that my wife's doula told us about.
Yeah, what? Magic. All right. Hold on. I'm not gonna get into that. I have like 9 questions immediately, but I'm not gonna do that. We did stem cells where they take the cord blood and they ship it off to some place in in Iowa, and they keep it for whenever I need to regrow an arm or something.
Yeah, whatever, and it keeps a Rockefeller alive, or like George Soros or something. He like drinks it in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
He's like 110. He looks like Nosferatu. These motherfuckers still have wives that are 22. No one says anything. No one says anything. No one's like, so what's going on here? You're over 114? He's like, oh, yeah, 114.
And then he's like, close the window, the light, close the window.
Yeah, exactly. I still control my tenth of the world.
Oh, geez.
You know, like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Look, I also learned tonight on this very program, this fine program, I learned that I think that, Chef, you might have a soft spot kind of buried in there for some of these young chefs in the world who are trying to come up and actually trying to make something happen. I think you might be a bit of a softie.
Oh, no, hey, I'm huge, huge fan of young guys and girls trying to come up. And, you know, I...
Isolate that.
I love chefs. You know, that's why I started my company. You know that. I mean, you know I love chefs.
Yeah.
You didn't just learn that. You know I love chefs. You know I love people. having beers with my buddy Plum.
There you go.
I learned that I love doing this show with Plum. It makes me really happy. I thought I was about to fall asleep, and now I feel totally energized. We're going to get off the phone. I'm going to have to go wake my wife up and talk to her.
Great, so I learned I break up marriages.
I'm all fired up. Listen to this. This is awesome.
Hey, I also learned tonight that whenever you get angry or annoyed at stuff, your ears turn red, which is a great thing for me to learn and to know that. So you have red ears.
Yeah. Dude, you don't want to see me when I'm angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. My ears turn bright red. I'm like Rudolph, but opposite.
There you go.
Organ or appendage.
Would that be opposite? I don't know if it's opposite.
I don't know. But I mean, according to the story, no one should want to talk to me until I can prove myself of value.
There you go.
It's kind of a dark story, isn't it? It's kind of like,
it's a little
hey,
scary.
If you're different and it's worthless, well, you pretty much have to play alone forever because everyone's allowed to make fun of you until you can do something like pull Santa's sleigh. But say all you can do is like light the laundry room and not turn on the light and no one knows about it, well, tough shit. No one's going to play with you.
That's right. There you go.
That's a tough lesson. There you go, kids. Learn that one.
Jesus. It's kind of like Frosty the Snowman. Another very, very dark story itself. Well, that's for another day for sure.
Where's that? Yeah,
well, dude,
the carrot.
Give me one more thing. What'd you learn? Give me one more thing. You had to learn something. This is a very educational program tonight.
Well, I learned about Kevin's awesome event going on in January. For young chefs, which I thought was really great.
The Chefs United.
And I thought, the Chefs United, yeah, I thought that was really awesome. What else did I learn? Well, I learned that people in Tennessee scare easy. You know, I mean,
they're scared of the obvious. Hey, man, if somebody steals my stuff, I might be scared. No way.
Well, that's if it's your snow cone trailer. I mean, that's a gangster move, right? They just walk in like they owned it. People are like, excuse me. They're like, nah.
I got
like,
this.
But is that your? Yeah, whatever. Give me the keys to the snow cone trailer right now. Is it yours? Does it matter?
Yeah, hook that shit to the back of the Plymouth. We're leaving.
Yeah. You see that eagle out there with the four-wheel drive on it? The 2-inch lift?
Oh shit, dude! Look, dude, I could talk to you all night long. There you have it. We're educated now. We are smarter for listening to this very program tonight. Thanks to Ergo Chef, the new shape of cutlery. Chef, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Dude, you're a fantastic co-host. You really are. You're good at chiming in. You're good at doing all this stuff, man. It's fantastic.
Right, I just like to have fun with you, man. It's good. It's a good time.
There you go.
It's a good time, Chef Plum. It's a good time.
Tell them where to find you at, brother.
They can find me at 4kingchef.com. Not .com. At 4kingchef on Instagram, on Twitter. I don't know. You can find me in the Hamptons. You can find
me
in New York.
The man's everywhere.
If you are a chef looking to become a private chef or interested in the field, you can find me at jkchefcollection.com. You can look me up on there, or you can give me a call off of there. 631-204-0... I don't know.
Find it online. You can get it right there on the website. You can check it out right there. Chef, great talking to you. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, we're going to end the show with Chef on the phone with us too anyway, so just hang in there, you guys. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, if you haven't done it yet, set those DVRs. Make sure you are recording, because you don't have to get up early. It's early in the morning. I get it. 6:30 a.m. is early on a Saturday. But set those DVRs and check out Edible Nutmeg on the Road, hosted by yours truly. Big things coming up on that show this summer. Hey, you might even see Chef Jeff on one of those episodes happening out on the East End this coming spring. Looking forward to that. Jeff, it's awesome, as always, hanging out, talking to you on the phone. Appreciate your time tonight on this Friday night episode.
Thank you, my man.
100th episode. I appreciate it. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that you have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And we'll see you next time. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down.